All right. I would like to talk to you about something exciting that's happening. Tomorrow there's a work opportunity. Yay! I noticed Bob had a good chuckle over that one. Yes, we have an exciting dream that is starting to materialize, and it's going to be taking place over there on the far side of our field. And I'm not going to tell you a lot of details about that right at the moment, but just know that you have something really cool to be anticipating. And what we need for tomorrow morning is some help to move a bunch of wood that's against that far fence over there in preparation for getting ready for our exciting special ministry that's going to be happening over there in a while. And so we're starting at 9 o'clock in the morning, and all we need is people that can haul wood. So it's a pretty low skill level. But if you are able to help, we would love to see you here to help out. And in thinking about that, could I just get a show of hands of those of you that would think that you'd be able to do that, just kind of immediately here thinking about it? Is there anybody out there that would be able to do that? Excellent! Yes! Thank you so much. And with... yes, Thad. Bring gloves. Yeah, that's in our newsletter. If you've read our newsletter, you kind of already knew that this was going on. Please bring gloves, bring sun protection, all those good things. Bring some water for yourselves. And many hands will make light work and allow this to go quickly. So we really, really appreciate you. Thank you so much. And I want to talk about what our offering is for today. And it is for women's ministry. I don't think we needed the book Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus to understand that men and women tend to, not always, but tend to communicate a little differently, relate a little differently. So it's important that we have women's ministries and men's ministries in our church. The thing is that one of our founding church members once said that women are uniquely positioned to minister to other women. And that only makes sense, right? And that we can, as women, we can minister to each other sometimes more effectively than men can minister to women. So that's something to keep in mind as we think about giving to women's ministries today. And this is not just for our local church, although it can benefit our local church, but this is for global women's ministry. Some of the things that they do obviously promote spiritual education and spiritual uplifting. And also the other things that they do is they help women in need to get higher education. They do special projects around the globe to help lift up women. And they are sponsors of, I don't know if you guys have ever read about End It Now, which is an abuse and violence program that they run as well in order to help women in those situations. So they're really trying to meet women's individual, special, and unique areas of life. So if you have it in your heart to support that, please do it. That's what our offering is for today. I just want to tell you guys that God is moving in the Arroyo Grande Seventh-day Adventist Church. I'm not the only one that senses this and feels it and sees it happening. Many people are seeing this happen. And to me, I see people giving. I see people coming forward to do things for our church. I see people actually giving up their own opinions and their own needs and wants for other people in a in a crazy, amazing, awesome way to me, more so than I've seen in a really, really long time. It's just incredible how God is moving in this church. And I, for one, really, really appreciate it. People are being called to service and to giving to each other and to giving in their relationships. And it's just been amazing how the Spirit has been mobilizing us. And I'm going to read a verse to you from Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church. Amen. And in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Can I hear a huge amen for that? Amen. God is working. And it's not by our power, it's by his power. It's by the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And so let's bow our heads for prayer today and just pray along with me that God will continue to do an amazing work in our local church here and in the lives of our families and those that we love. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we see your power at work. We know who we are in you. We have been chosen by you already. And we are amazing children in your eyes. You see so much potential in us. You never give up on us. Your mercies are new every single morning. Lord, we ask you to come very near to this church. We ask you to come near today as Josh speaks. And Lord, give us word of you and what you would have for us in our lives. We know that you are a healing, loving Father, and you only have our best intention in mind. We thank you so much for that. Father, give us this immeasurable, unthinkable power that you have promised. Lord, continue to fuel our lives with love for others and selflessness. Lord, call to our minds when we need to give up and surrender to you in order for the church to go forward in unity. Make us humble, Father, and give us peace. Give us peace about the future. And let us not worry about things that are happening in this world, but keep our eyes focused on you. I pray that you come really near to our family, our church family, and our other families, Lord, that need you, whether it be mental, physical, spiritual healing. Father, heal them. And may we be agents that assist that healing, Lord. I pray, God, that your work will be completed soon and that we may be able to be joyful partners in that. Lord, we just give ourselves to you today and just open us up to what you would have us to hear, to be reminded of, and to live in. And we thank you so much. In your name, amen.
Thank you for that, Rhonda. That was beautiful. And I, too, sense that something is happening here in this church. If you're sitting there and you're going, what is he talking about? Come talk to me. Come talk to Rhonda. We would love to tell you and share with you the great things that are going on in our church here, in our church family. You know, when I came here a little over 6 years ago, boy, it's been a long time, I called a friend of mine in Texas, and I was his pastor, and I said, hey, Gary, could you draw me a picture of a burnt-down church? He's an artist. And he drew me a beautiful picture of a burnt down church. And below that picture in my office, I have the words written out. If our church was to burn down today, would we be missed? It's a very relevant question. How many people in the community would actually come up and say, hey, we want to help you rebuild because you guys were made such an impact in our community that we want to help you rebuild your church? And see, that's been the driving force for me and for many others too, that we can be literally the hands and feet of Jesus outside of those walls and inside. And to see that happening in multiple ways brings me great joy. And I can't tell you how happy I've been seeing that come to fruition. And so be on the lookout for that. And thank you for those that are praying. Please keep praying for us and for the people that are involved. No matter how small or how big the task is, we definitely need your prayers. We're continuing this morning with part two of our second coming message. And this morning, I want to start out with prayer. Let's do that. Mighty God, we thank you so much that you've given us Scripture. You've given us your word, which gives us direction, gives us insight, and gives us a clear picture of who you are and how you want to be in this relationship with us. From the beginning of time to after you come back, we see that relationship is evident. And so, Father, today we want to increase our relationship with you and have a better understanding of where we're at today and where we're going. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember when I was 17 years old, and my parents and my sister, my younger sister, were going away for the weekend, and I got to stay home. Oh boy, the things I thought I could do, right? Well, my parents, they sat me down and they explained their expectations to me, and they reminded me that although they were leaving, they would also be coming back soon. Oh no. And I was going to be held accountable for everything and anything that happened in the house. So there on the table, I had a list of telephone numbers of adults I could call. I had a number to where they were staying because we didn't have these fancy things back then. That's how old I am. I was told that I was to be trusted with things in our family home and possessions. But with that trust came this sense of responsibility. You know, I started to think about what we've been talking about recently, and that Jesus is coming back, and how we're told to keep watch and be ready, and we don't know exactly when Jesus will appear, but we know that he will. And he's coming back personally, he's coming back visibly, and he's coming back suddenly. He may come back even today. How can we be ready for the time when Jesus comes back? I think that's an important question that we have to think about as followers of Jesus. Last week, we learned from Jesus, and he taught this, that in order to be prepared, we had to develop a personal and a persevering faith, a faith that could stand the test of time, a daily surrendering to self and acknowledging that he's our Savior and our friend. And so today, as we look at this parable of the talents, I believe that Jesus wants us to be responsible for that which he has given us. And Jesus has given each and every one of us some beautiful things. So, even like my parents that went out and went away, they entrusted me to take care of the home and the things in the home. And when they came back, they expected me to be responsible. God has the same thing for you and me today. Amen. So if you could open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. We're going to read some scripture this morning. We're going to read this parable. And what's What's neat about Matthew 25 is that it's all red. How many of you have a red letter Bible? All right? All of chapter 25 is completely red. So, get my phone out. So we have at the beginning of this chapter the parable of the 10 virgins, which we talked about last week. And then we have the parable of the talents. Now I'm going to read this parable, and I want you to tune your ear into it. And then I have some questions and some thoughts that we're going to go over. And we're starting in verse 14. And it says this, or he says this. Just, these are the words of Jesus telling this parable. And this happened on the Mount of Olives, actually. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them to his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own what? Ability, right? Then he went away. He who received 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents, and I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered me 2 talents here. I have made you 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful, lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and I gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. At my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to those with the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will be given more, and he who will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, in the place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So this parable took place on the mountain, like I talked about. And it's a parable that has to do with Jesus coming back. The master here is Jesus, right? And the talents, although they were, biblically, they were money that people were given, we look at this and we know that the talents is our time, our treasure, our gifts, things that God gives us, right? And so, you know, Jesus walked and he served on earth, and the day that he died and was raised from the dead, he went that coming week to his followers and showed himself to them. And then for many days, he appeared. And then where did he go? He ascended to heaven. And he said, in the same way that I go, I'm going to come back. Right? So, you know, we know that Jesus didn't leave us alone. He left the Holy Spirit to be with us and to help us along the journey. And that's why we need to have that, develop that persevering faith that I talked about last week. And God entrusts us in his household, his church, with certain talents, with certain resources, right? God expects faithfulness. We're all given a measure of faith. Every single one of us is given a measure of faith. No amens? There we go. You need to think about that, right? Can you grow that faith? Yes. Should you grow that faith? Absolutely. Right? Is it always pleasant to grow our faith? No, but is it worth it? 100%, right? God also expects fruitfulness. by investing, even taking risks for an increase for him. But I think one of the main points in this parable is that Jesus, the master, is coming back, and he wants you and I to be ready when he does by being a faithful and fruitful servant. So the question today is, how can you and I continue to be faithful and fruitful? Well, we know that God's given each one of us talents, whether it's resources, whether the resources are time, money, abilities, spiritual gifts, possessions. I guess the question is, what talents and gifts has God given you? The Bible talks a lot about this. In fact, in Romans 12:3, it says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned to each of you. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though we are many, are one body in Christ, and individual members of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace that has been given to us." And Paul says, let us use them. Let us use the gifts that have been given to us. You know, I was just at a wedding this week. I was on Thursday night up in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and we brought a wedding gift. And how many of you have brought wedding gifts to weddings before? Yeah. And we got to the table with all the gifts on it. And, you know, there was maybe three or four gifts. We were kind of early and we put our gift on it. But then I saw a picture on Instagram of the bride and groom's vehicle. And the whole back seat and the whole back trunk was filled with these wedding gifts, right? It's a beautiful thing. When you go to a wedding, you see the bride and groom get married and have the ceremony. And we bring these gifts. And the point I want to make is that, you know, the Bible says that our baptism is a lot like a wedding. And when we are baptized, when we give our lives to God, our lives to Jesus, guess what he gives us in return? He gives us better gifts than you'll find at any wedding. He gives us his Spirit. He gives us talents and gifts and abilities to be used in the church. And if you want to get me excited, let's talk about this, that he gives each one of you here the ability to give back and to grow in faith and grow in understanding. No matter how young you are or no matter how old you are, God has a mission, a job, and a task for you. The Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given, though the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom, another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kind of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by the same Spirit who gives to each one individually as he sees best. God knows best. And he gives us great gifts that we can choose to use or to bury. You know, whoever invented gift cards was a genius. Genius. Because when you see all those at Walmart, and you think, oh, I'm going to buy a 5-pack of Starbucks gift cards and give them out. And I'm going to buy this and this and this gift card and that gift card. And at Christmas time, you give these gift cards out. Did you know that the average American has over $300 of gift cards at home not being used? Some of you are like, I'm not average. I don't have any, right? The average American, I looked it up. Google it. You can Google it, okay? Average American, $300 in gift cards. I do have some gift cards. I just thought of it, Lacey. There's two in my drawer that have been in there for a long time. One's for Bass Pro Shop. I'll probably never go there, but I have one. See, God gives us gifts and abilities, and we don't want to put them in a drawer. We don't want to forget about them, right? We want to invest them. We want to use them and grow them, right? Now, you know, when I was in Texas, the senior pastor, Vitaly Prelinsky, is a Ukrainian gentleman, super nice guy. We preached one weekend about talents and gifts. And one person heard the sermon a few weeks later, the audio version of that sermon, and they were a shut-in. They were at home. They were elderly and not doing well, and we went to visit them. And that person said, you know, you guys talk about this, and when I was young, I could do a lot. I could go and help with this, and I could do that. And now I can't even go to church. I wish God would just take me now, because there's nothing else that I could do. And I looked at the senior pastor that I worked under, and he reflected back what the person said, making sure he understood. And he said, sister, can you pray? She said, well, yeah. Can you pray for others while you're lying in bed? She goes, yeah. Can you pick up the phone and call people and encourage them? She goes, yeah, I could do that. He goes, well, for the next week, I want you to pray for church members and people in the community and call a few people and encourage them. You know, over the next few weeks, he checked back in with her. And do you know that her health actually got better? You know that she became a huge encourager of people in that church. She didn't think she could give anything anymore, but she started with something small that she knew that she could do for God, and God grew it to something big and beautiful. And God used it, not only for her joy and her happiness, but for others too. Now, if we go back to this parable and we look at the king and the landowner and how he went away, in the parable, he expected a return on the things that he had given. And we realize that some of those servants put the money to work and one did not, right? So the question I have for us this morning is, does God have a right to expect a return from us? Cindy's shaking her head, yes. He does, right? Absolutely. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, but I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever. Amen. God deserves the glory. And God hands us those talents and abilities so that we can show the world a truly loving God. But there was a lazy servant there. And this is what it says in Matthew 25. It says, he also who had received the one talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. It's pretty apparent to me as I've read this parable and the other one in Luke 19, that's a similar parable but has some differences. It's pretty apparent to me that this servant, being as it may that the Bible called him slothful or lazy, right? He had a skewed view of his master. Did you see that there? Did you catch that there? He was afraid, right? He knew him to be a hard man. What's your view of God? A.W. Tozer says, what we think about God is the most important thing about us. What we think about God is the most important thing about us. You know, the wicked servant there thought his master to be hard, so he was afraid and he didn't do anything with his talent. So I guess the reality is that if you have had an inappropriate view of God or not appropriate view of God, not true, as God is the master, it will lead to this thing called fear, F-E-A-R. And fear is not of God, right? That's why Jesus said over and over and over again, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Good. The question is, do we see God as loving and merciful and a giver of grace? Or are we, are you angry with God for any reason, even secretly? What fears do you have in using your talents for the Lord? I've had many people over the years come up to me and say, I could never preach. I could never do that. I say, don't worry, you don't have to. And by the way, if God does call you to preach, guess what? You can. God can do amazing things when you just say, God, I'm ready. What do you want me to do? That's a bold prayer right there. And it's a prayer that I promise God will answer. Because God wants to use you to grow you and to reach people. Remember, how you view God will affect if and how you use the talents that God has given you. So take time this week to reflect on your view of God as you seek Him. You know, we're all supposed to use the gifts that we've been given from God. And 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Notice it said each one of us has received a gift. Every single one of us here. Nobody is excluded. In a little book on the parables called Christ's Object Lessons that I have on page 329, it says this, the development of all of our powers is the first duty we owe to God and to our fellow men. No one who is not growing daily in capability and usefulness is fulfilling the purpose of life. You know, when I call my father, who's in his mid to late 60s, one of the things he always says is, hey, Josh, guess what I learned today? Guess what I learned today? He's always trying to learn something new. It's encouraging because there are some days that I go, what did I learn today, right? Be more like your dad, Josh, right? No, but it's important. And, you know, they say the first third of your life, you do most of your learning in that first third of your life. The other two thirds, and you're like a sponge actually too. So you young, if you're in the first third of your life, learn, right? But the second third and the last third, we don't learn as much typically, and it's actually harder to learn as we get older. But that doesn't mean we can't learn, right? We need to strive to learn and to continue to learn. You know, when the disciples heard this parable, was Jesus gone yet? Had he gone to heaven when he told them this parable? No. So when Jesus told this parable, the disciples were kind of like, well, he's talking about a master leaving, and we need to be servants, and we need to grow, but Jesus isn't going to leave. He's going to become the king, right? But when Jesus did leave, the event that catapulted him to leave was the event that took place on Calvary. The fact that Jesus died and the fact that Jesus rose from the grave and the fact that Jesus had many, many eyewitnesses, including his own disciples, and the fact then that Jesus went up to heaven and said, I'll be back, right? It was because of what Jesus did on the cross and the understanding that those disciples and those followers of Jesus had that they said, wow, I want to be sold out for my Savior because he's redeemed me, he's promised me something that's incredible, and he's coming back, and I want to be like the servant that he talked about. I want to be faithful. I want to invest the talents and the gifts that God has given me so that I can grow closer to God, but also other people can as well. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing, and I really believe that the hinge point for this story isn't, I think it gets preached so much like, be ready for the second coming, you got to use your talents, but I think what we really need to do is stop and step back and say, wait a minute. The reason that we can use those talents and should use those talents is because Jesus has redeemed us. He's given his life for us, and it gives us an opportunity to use those talents so that when he comes back, more and bigger and beautiful things have happened. Right? Now, we know that the parable talked about we're going to give an account for what we've done with the talents. And you know, whether it's our treasure, right? Some people are really, really good with their money. They're gifted with it. Or our time. That's a big one. Time is a big one. What are we doing with our time? You know, what are we doing with the talents God has given us? Now, it may seem like a long time before Jesus returns, but he's coming, and when he does, we're going to have to say, okay, here's why I did what I did. Now, if you're already using the things God has given you, I want to challenge you and stretch you this morning to expand that more. I want to challenge you to deepen your faith even more, to deepen your knowledge and your wisdom even more. And if you're not faithfully using your talents, I want to encourage you this morning that you can look for ways to use them. You can talk to Rhonda or Bob or one of the elders or one of the leaders or one of the Sabbath school teachers like Thad or Steve or Elmer in the church and say, hey, I want to use my talents more. I want to grow. God's desire, even more than mine, is that he has a growing household of family members. Amen? He desires more people to come into a personal relationship with him, and he desires people to grow in their faith, and he desires the church to be lighthouses for other people to see. You know, God is so good and so faithful that even when we squander our time and our talents, he's there to knock on the doors of our hearts and say, hey, today, let's you and I go out and let's grow your talents and grow you. So God takes us working together, using our talents, our time, our tithe, our gifts, our abilities to help us grow as a body, as it was talked about in Romans, as a church body here. We're in this together to grow in our faith. So as we look at this and we see that Jesus entrusts the ministry to those who call him Lord, to those who serve him. He gives us talents and he gives us responsibilities for using the things he's given us daily. And unlike my parents, how I knew they would return, we don't know when Jesus is going to return. And my parents spelled out exactly what they expected from me. And Jesus does the same thing through the Bible. He wants us to use the talents and resources he's given us for his desires. He teaches us this lesson through the parable of talents. The two servants were willing to work hard and take risks, and the one man was determined to not take a loss. The two servants received the talents as a gift from the Lord, and the one man refused the gift to use it. The two servants wanted to advance the master's household, and the one man had no interest in what mattered to the master. The two servants viewed the gifts as an opportunity, and the one man saw the gifts as a problem. The two servants allowed the gifts of the master to change their lives, and the one man refused to let the gift touch his life. The two servants invested in the master's gifts, and the one man wasted and hid his gift. The two servants saw the master's gift as a blessing, and the one man saw the gift as a burden. The two servants knew the master and his desires, and the one man hadn't a clue. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? Are you ready? you know, you can have the confidence as followers of Jesus to be a faithful and a fruitful servant. And as a child of God, to know the truths and take action steps from this passage to be ready. Jesus is looking for us to be faithful and fruitful, not lazy and lukewarm and laid back. We need to continually be about our Father's business. Amen. And I just want to say, you know, as I've prepared this message this week, that I'm encouraged, Rhonda, as I heard you talk up here about the things going on, seeing people step up, seeing people lead, seeing other people step back and mentor others. That's wonderful to see people mentor and say, hey, we want to help you grow and learn and use talents God has given you, right? I'm encouraged today. And I'm also hopeful that we will all continue to contribute and to give where God has called us to give. And so as you go throughout this next week, take time to pray about that. Pray for others in our church. Pray for me, please. And also pray that God will lead you to doors of opportunity for his mission and his service. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we realize that you give us so much, Lord. You give us redemption, eternal life. You give us talents and gifts and treasure and time each day. And Lord, we don't want to be found as the servant who just sat there and did nothing, that hid his talent. We want to go and invest it and use it. But Lord, to do that, we first need to recognize that you, from the beginning of time, had a plan to redeem us. And that plan was Jesus coming down here and dying the death that we deserved on the cross. And so, Father, we are in awe of that. And we thank you so much for your precious gift. Lord, lead us this week to doors of opportunity to use our time and our talent and our treasure for your kingdom. And when you come back, Lord, we want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servants. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys. Have a wonderful Sabbath. Make sure you apply more sunscreen if you're going to hang out here. Okay? And we'll see you guys soon.